Hey, good morning, everybody. Everybody say good morning. All right, if you're watching online, type it in the chat. Good morning. How about that? Let's see who can outdo each other. Our outside group, who has switched places, by the way, if you're watching online, they are completely flip-flopped, right? We got a bunch of flip-floppers here at Belmont this morning. So everybody used to hang out in the shade. Now everybody switched sides, and they are in the light, which is great because that is something – we've been talking about is the fact that we have been transferred, right, from the kingdom of darkness, where Rob is sitting over here. Just kidding, Rob. But we've been transferred over into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to continue on this morning in a series that we're calling Unconventional. And we're calling it that because we have been transferred to an unconventional kingdom. Just to retrace our steps, you know, we mentioned last week that there are multiple kingdoms at play in this world. The ultimate, the primary kingdom that we live in, that we function in, that we should see as believers, is the kingdom of God. And we see this kingdom of God from the very first page of scriptures all the way to the last page. It's a theme that runs throughout the Bible, and it is the dominant theme of the teaching of Jesus Christ, is that his kingdom has come. It has arrived. And why did that need to be so? Because early on, at the beginning of creation, God established his kingdom. And he gave us his image. And we were to rule or to reign, which is what it means to have a kingdom. And we were to rule, reign, have dominion over this wonderful planet that he had prepared for us. And that was great. But guess what? We messed it all up, didn't we? And so what happened is that mankind created an alternate kingdom. We created an alternate reality because we looked at our king and we said, we think you're holding back on us. We think that what you have to offer is not enough, and maybe there's something better, there's something good that can be offered to us that you're not sharing with us. And so this alternate kingdom, this alternate world was established. And so from that point on, there's been this competition going on between the people who follow the Creator, King, and those who desire to follow the longings of their own sinful hearts. And so that is some of the things that we talked about last week, just to lay the foundation for the idea that we can see and enter into this kingdom of God by believing. And we are a church that says we want to help people be who God created them to be, right? We want to make disciples, followers of Jesus, and we do that in three parts: by believing, by helping people to understand and think the right way about God, believing, and then belonging, and then becoming. And so today is a sermon really about becoming. It's a sermon about living out your life, following your king, and doing what he calls you to do, regardless of what that might look like. And I will tell you this as your pastor, many times, and perhaps most of the time, that looks unconventional. That does not look normal. And more, you and I are going to have the opportunity to be a part of what really should be a contrasting kingdom. You see, when there's multiple kingdoms at play, these kingdoms can overlay or shadow each other, or mirror each other. And as the kingdom of this world begins to shift off and do things differently and be more pronounced in their denial of a creator and more pronounced in living out a lifestyle of sin that is in direct violation to the truth of Scripture, the kingdom that we live in is no longer in the shadow of that, or doesn't line up, or doesn't look like it's just... When Christians live in a moral kingdom or in a moral country, it can sometimes be hard to differentiate between believers and non-believers, between God's kingdom and the kingdom of this world. But as those things begin to change, you and I as believers have the opportunity to show that what we believe and what we say we value, we actually hold to those things. And so the way that we live our lives looks vastly different than the way that the world lives their lives. And what we value as believers should look vastly different than the values of this world. Remember what Wes said? Can I get an amen, anybody? All right. Thank you, sir. So, I didn't mean to jump right into the message here, but that is what is happening. That's what the Lord's had on my heart, and that is really the message that I have for our congregation today. But I'm also preaching a special message today. I'm preaching a message to Reggie and Courtney Johnson. Because Reggie and Courtney are with us for this send-off Sunday. They are with us this morning because they have a calling that God has placed on their hearts. And they're leaving us. Can you believe this? They are leaving Roanoke. They are turning their back on Roanoke. And they are going north to Pittsburgh to be where our King has called them to be. And I don't think it's too late for people right here from this congregation over the next 6 months, year, 18 months to say, I want to go too. I didn't hear it at first. I didn't see it at first. But I believe that God maybe is calling me to give my place here in Roanoke up to somebody else. And I'm going to move up to Pittsburgh and be a part of what God is doing up there at that church plant. But today is a message in large part for Reggie and Courtney because I know what it can be like to do something that's unconventional and to follow a calling that the King has on your life. And I know what the things that you're going to run into can be tough and can be challenging, and they certainly will be. And so I'm going to be giving a message today entitled, Don't Look Back. All right, Reggie? I want to see your notes at the end of the sermon. So take them good, take them long, write it out. But Don't Look Back is the title of our message today, directed at Reggie and Courtney, but also I think for every single person here who claims Jesus as King, that this same thing applies to you. Amen? All right, you don't even know what I'm going to say yet, but thank you. I appreciate that. Turn in your copy of the scriptures to Luke chapter 9, all right? Luke chapter 9. And we are jumping straight from what we talked about last week, the foundation that we see in the Old Testament, straight up to the teachings of Jesus. And over the next few weeks, we're going to see that the teachings of Jesus are pretty unconventional. They don't make sense to the people of this world. While you're turning there, let me also remind you of a story from the Old Testament about two kingdoms in contrast with each other. As God was establishing a nation called Israel, and he was calling people out, and he was pointing out that the kingdoms of this world have turned their backs on him, and that he is a holy God who deals justly and rightly with those kingdoms. I'm talking about Sodom and Gomorrah in this sense, because if you remember, God called Lot and his family to leave that sinful city, to leave that sinful place, and to walk toward him instead. And he directed them in this way. He said, when you leave, don't look back. Turn your back, repent, and walk toward me. But as they got to the outskirts of the city, you may remember that Lot's wife just couldn't take it. And what did she do? She looked back. Everybody say, look back. Look back. Don't do it. Don't look back. She got it bad. She turned into a pillar of salt on the spot right there because she disobeyed what God had told her to do when he said, do not look back. Then we get fast forward all the way to the time of Jesus, New Testament. Jesus arrives, and what is his primary message? What does he start saying as soon as his ministry begins? He says this, repent, turn around, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Don't look back. And then he started calling people to follow him and to be a part of this kingdom. He invited them to see this kingdom, to open their eyes, to be born again, and to be able to be transferred into this kingdom. And people began to do that, and other people began to wrestle with whether or not they actually wanted to follow this calling that God had on their life. And so we are able to see in Luke chapter 9 some interactions with Jesus and some folks that I think that all of us will be able to relate to today. So before we pray and jump into Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 57, I want to read a couple of verses to you from Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23. And here's what Jesus says. He said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You see, this is a passage here about death. When we say pick up your cross and follow me, Jesus' listeners at that time would have automatically went not to a necklace that you and I might wear or a piece of jewelry that we might wear. They would remember right away the crosses that they had seen on the side of the road where Romans had crucified people. And so the cross had a really bad connotation in this society. It was a terrible thing. And he said, if you want to follow me, be willing and ready to die. Reggie, Courtney, wake up. They already fell asleep on me. You're walking into death. In the eyes of the world, you're dying to yourself. You're moving away. But Jesus says, when we give away our life, that we find real life, that we embrace what's true. And he said to them all, not just to Reggie and Courtney, right? But he said to everybody that was there, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Absolutely. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us to follow you, to be a part of your kingdom. Lord, we bow our knee to you this morning. We proclaim our allegiance to you. And Lord, we pray that you would give us courage and the boldness to do the things that you have called us to do. Lord, we thank you especially this morning for Reggie and Courtney and the kids as they say goodbye to Roanoke and they say hello to this next chapter in life, the season that you have opened up for them. God, we pray that you would just put a hand of blessing upon their family, upon their marriage, upon their ministry. And Lord, I pray that they would live a life with no regrets. Lord, that they would not look back and wonder, but Lord, that they would embrace the calling that you have for them, no matter how tough it may get, how challenging it may be. But Lord, that they would embrace this calling and die to themselves. And we pray this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Luke chapter 9, we see three folks who come to Jesus, and they talk to him about this kingdom, and He, in fact, challenges them to be about going out and proclaiming the kingdom, which is what Reggie and Courtney are doing as they head to Pittsburgh. They are moving there to proclaim the kingdom of God, to let people in Pittsburgh know that there is another option, that the kingdom of this world that they have embraced is not the only thing that's available, but there's a better and a more true option that they could live a life that matters, and they could live a life of truth based on the scriptures. And so they can be called and be transferred from a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. And so we see three guys that approach Jesus here, starting in verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." That is a pretty bold statement, am I right? Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'm your guy. I'm your girl. Wherever you go, I am there. As a precursor to this passage and these three people, let me remind you that we've already seen in Scripture that Jesus knows the heart of mankind. Jesus was able to tell in a moment what a person was truly thinking and feeling and what their thoughts were on a situation. And so as he had these conversations, he knew exactly what was going on in the hearts of these folks and what it is that they personally were struggling with. And it may be this morning that as we unpack these three scenarios, that you may connect with one of these and you might say, that is my struggle. As I struggle to be a person who lives consistently with my eyes on the kingdom of God, that is my struggle. And as things progress in our country and in our world, and as we are called to be a part of that kingdom and it actually winds up costing us something, you may need to identify which one of these three things that we see today are going to be the thing that's the hardest or the first for you that you're going to need to encounter. So as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus, knowing the heart of this person, knew that the appropriate response to this statement from this person was this. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air, guess what? They have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to even lay his head. This is speaking, I believe, in this instance, to this fellow to say, following me is not comfortable. It's unconventional. Being a part of the kingdom of God will not always be comfortable. It will not always be conventional. It will not always be easy. And it's easy for someone in a moment to tweet or to share something that seems profound and seems self-righteous to say, I'll follow you, Jesus, wherever you go, when it doesn't cost me anything, when I don't have to give up my comfort. But Jesus felt impressed to say in this moment, hey, guess what? You've just told me that, but I want you to know this, that I don't even have a place to call my home. I don't have a place to lay my head. In all three of these instances, we are not given the answer to how these people responded. And I believe that is intentional, obviously, on the part of the Spirit as he gave us these scriptures to say, hey, insert yourself here. What is the answer for you? As Reggie and Courtney prepare to be in Pittsburgh and to be all there, they will necessarily have to give up some comfort. They've already sold their house here in Roanoke, and they've moved to a different place in Pittsburgh that's going to need some work, maybe need some of us to come help. But we don't want to make it too comfortable, right? We don't want to make it too nice. We want to let them suffer a little bit. There's some things and some lessons that you cannot learn about the kingdom of God and the calling that he has on your life until you go through it. You can't know. You can't read a book and get it and go, ah, that's the way it is. No, you have to go through it. And that's when God teaches you, like, ah, that's when you have to trust in me. When I don't have a place to lay my head tonight, who am I calling out to? To my King. I remember when I was in your shoes many years ago, and God was calling me to do something different and to be someplace different. And I was in a place that was good and was doing great things and was comfortable for me. But I remember pulling out of my driveway one day at a nice house. And I got about two blocks down the road. And I'm not saying that the Lord spoke to me audibly, but I thought somebody was in my back seat. I literally turned around because I heard this, sell your house. And I'm like, okay, I think I didn't get enough sleep last night. Because I'm like, seriously? So I ignored that, obviously. You know, you're not going to do that. So I kept on driving to my destination. And I got a few more blocks up the street. And I heard one more time, And it was almost to say, this is the last time. Sell your house. Well, I got a wife and kids to think about. So I turned around, came back home, and told my wife, I think we're supposed to sell our house. I think we're supposed to move somewhere else. And thank God. Thank God for a wife, for a spouse, for a partner who would say, if that's what God wants us to do, that's what we're going to do. Let me encourage you that if your spouse hears from the Lord, is wanting to follow Jesus, that you don't be the person that's holding that back, that's desiring to stay comfortable. Courtney, there's going to be some times where it's not comfortable. And you're going to want to say, Reggie, what did you do to us? And you're going to remember in that time to call Christy Laughing House and say, how did you do this? Was your husband ever this stupid? That's a terrible thing to say. And she's going to go, man, he's like that all the time. But you know what? Then you're going to remember together, I didn't make this up. I didn't decide to do this. God called us to this life. And it won't always be a life like that for you. It won't always mean picking up and moving to a different city, to a different place. But there should be a willingness in your heart to always give up your comfort, your entertainment, what comes easy, what you naturally want to give to yourself, to say, I'm going to give this up for the greater good, because proclaiming the kingdom is more important than me being comfortable, me being entertained, and me living the easy life. It's not what it's about. So he continues on. He speaks to that man, shares that with them, and then another guy comes up. Verse 59. To another he said, follow me. Remember, the call is the same each time. Follow me, follow me, follow me. Don't look back. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes the kingdom can seem harsh or crazy to people who are not inside of it and don't realize the importance of it. And so this guy walks up and he's listening to Jesus, and obviously his father is not dead yet, because if he was, he wouldn't be here listening to the teachings of Jesus. He would be taking care of his father's preparations in that moment. So in this culture, what we understand is that obviously there was a big responsibility for a man to take care of his family, to take care of his parents as they got up in age. But more than likely, he was also involved in the family business. He was involved in, like, whatever your dad did back then, that's what you did. You were involved in that, and you had a big investment in that, because when your father passed away, all of that inheritance would pass on to you. And so in this instance, we saw in the first instance that one thing that could keep us from wanting to be too involved and too engaged in the kingdom of God and going all in for that could be the comforts that this world offers. But another thing that could hold us back from participating fully in the kingdom of God, especially as time moves forward and things become more contrasted, is that we can feel like we have too much to lose, that we've invested too much in the things of this world, in a career, in education, in family, in a house, and all the things that we've poured our time and our efforts into. And he's saying, but Jesus, let me first go back and bury my father. Let me first go back. Give me a couple more years. I want to go back. My dad's up in age. It won't be long now, and he'll be moving on to glory land. And then all the things that I've worked so hard for in my life, serving him, those will pass to me. And then I'll have that security to be able then to use for the kingdom of God. And Jesus tells him this: leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You could read that this way: leave the dead, leave the spiritually dead to bury the physically dead. Are you with me? Leave the spiritually dead to bury the physically dead. What's up, buddy? But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. What we need to be picking up on here is this, is the preeminence and the importance and the vastly greater importance of proclaiming the kingdom and the reality of it, the reality of an eternity spent with God or away from God to a dying world. Instead of waiting and making excuses and saying, I want to wait, I want to do what seems wise in my own eyes, and I've invested too much time and I've done this and there's security here. So is there a way that I could have a foot in this kingdom, the kingdom of God, but also still maintain everything that I've built for myself up to this point? Because I don't want to give up what I've built in case this doesn't work out. But that's not the way that the kingdom of God operates or works. We go fully as God's people into the kingdom of God, and we depend on him for our inheritance. Amen? We depend on him for our security. We don't depend on what we've built or what we've made or what we've accomplished in this world for our security or to be our kingdom. Instead, we give ourselves fully to the kingdom of God and we do not look back. That doesn't mean that you will not still participate in the kingdom of this world. You definitely will. But the bent of your heart is that you are all in for the kingdom of God. And if he says, continue on at that job, continue on in that city, continue on taking care of these people, then you do that thing while at the same time being all in with God's kingdom. Am I making sense here? That's what we're about as people who are part of the kingdom of God. And we count on him for our security. You know, Jesus tells us in another place that that we don't have to worry about tomorrow because he knows everything that's going on. He knows the birds of the air and when one single one of those falls. And so you don't have to worry about taking care of yourself, and you don't have to be stressed out about tomorrow and what tomorrow holds and making sure that you've got enough saved up in your retirement and that your IRA is where it needs to be and that you've got so much savings and that you've accomplished everything that you need to do. So that way when God comes along and he says, hey, I want you to give some money to help out with this church plant, or hey, I want to give you some money to give some money to love your neighbor in the way that you should do it, that you're not saying, well, I can't do that because that's my security. But instead you say, God, this is all yours, and I'm just stewarding this for you. You tell me what to do with it, and I'll do it. And it may look unconventional, and it may not make sense, and I hope that it doesn't, because in those times, that is when you grow. That is when you change. When you have to do something that costs you something, when you give away what's in your hand, and you don't know, Reggie and Courtney, how you're going to make that payment, or keep them lights on, don't call Belmont. I'm just kidding. You better call Belmont. But I tell you this, Christy and I have learned the most valuable lessons in our life. Flat broke. And that ain't no joke. And somebody could come along and say, see? Now, don't you wish you'd have done something different? No. No. Even my own kids might say, Dad, why didn't you do something different so we could have more, so we could do this or do that? Do I feel like I'm robbing anybody? No. You know what? Doing what God's called you to do with what he decides to give you, that's the most valuable thing you could do. Reggie, Courtney, there's going to be some times in ministry where you might, the devil might start to say, your kids are missing out. Look at everybody else's kids. They're at Disney, right? And ain't nothing wrong with Disney, I'm just saying. I like Mickey Mouse. But don't you start comparing, do not start comparing your life to anybody else's calling. Don't you do it. It's a trap of the devil for you and for any other believer to start comparing what God has called you to and what he's decided to bless somebody else with. With money, with children, with belongings, with vocation, with geography, any of those things, you embrace what God has given you and you be satisfied and content with that. And you say, thank you, God. Let the dead bury their own dead. Who else shows up on the scene? Another guy shows up in verse 61. And what does he say? I will follow you, Lord. There's a common theme here, right? Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Hey, you, come follow me. Here's another common theme that you'll see in here is the word but. Right? Everybody say but. All right. Jesus says, come follow me. And we like to add the word, I will, but. That's what happens here. But, let me first say farewell to those at my home. By the way, type that in the chat if you would. But. All right? Can we get anybody to do that? I want to have at least 10 buts in the chat right now. I need 10 buts in the chat. That's unconventional. We better have 10 buts in the chat. B-U-T's, by the way. Reggie, I'm also showing you some things not to do when you plant a church in Pittsburgh. 61, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me say farewell to those at my home. Jesus knew what was really eating at this guy. What does he respond? No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for what? For the kingdom of God. See, these guys were making excuses. Jesus knew what was in their heart, and he knew that this guy was looking back. He wasn't saying, let me just run by the house and say goodbye in a couple of minutes. He's saying, let me run by, tell everybody what I'm doing. Seek their approval. Process it through. Am I making the right choice? Should I do this? And Jesus is saying, you're backing out. That's what you're doing. It's like when someone invites you over to their house or you invite someone over to go do something with you. And sometimes people say this, well, let me think about it. You and I both know what that means, right? That means no. That means they're not coming. It's not you, it's me. But it's just not happening. And that's what's happening in this story with this guy. Is he saying, yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll follow you. But first, let me go deal with some other stuff. Let me go say goodbye to everybody. Let me go let everybody know what I'm doing. Let me go and get their approval. And so whether for you it's your comfort and your willingness to give up the comforts of this world to serve God in a way that doesn't make sense, or whether for you, it's being willing to give up security and the future and what that might hold and you being able to know what is going to happen instead of feeling like out of control and that God is the one on the throne. Or whether it's for you the need for approval and affirmation from people in this world as you say goodbye to the kingdom of this world. Jesus is saying, no, you put your hand to the plow and you do not look back. Do not second guess. Do not turn around. Do not seek approval. Do not make sure this is right with everybody else and that they understand. One thing that we had to come to grips with as we stepped out to plant a church was this, is that not everybody is going to get it. There will be people, no matter what God calls you to, there will be people who will never understand. And if you're the kind of person that just needs to have them get it, like you're going to have to talk to them and help them see and help them understand, there will be people in your own family, Reggie and Courtney, who will try to talk you out of doing. Has that happened already? Yeah? Who will try? It'll happen more. Who will try to talk you out of what God is calling you to do. And if it's too big of a burden on you for them to completely get it and understand why you're doing what you're doing, you'll waste your time and your energy and your emotion. Instead, we have to say, I'm doing this. God's called me to this. And you may or may not ever understand. I love you. I wish the best for you. But I have to obey my King. You see, I live in a different kingdom than you do. And until you step over that threshold, until God draws you in, until he transfers you into the kingdom of light, your eyes are still blinded to see what you can't see. And so we can't ask spiritually unaware, spiritually dead people to understand spiritual concepts. You can't expect that to happen. That doesn't mean that we have to be mean or brash or degrading about it. But we put our hands to the plow in the kingdom of God, and we plow straight lines. We don't look back. We don't go crooked, right? When we're looking back and wondering what everybody else is thinking about what God has called us to, we're not looking back wondering, did I make the right choice? Was that family member right? Was what I did crazy or stupid? You know, after God told Christy and I to sell our home, we put a for sale sign in the front yard in like 2 days. And one of the neighbors that lived across the street was bending my wife's ear one day out in the road and just saying, what are you doing? This is a nice neighborhood to raise kids in. It's a cul-de-sac right here. I mean, like, this is the American dream. Like, why would you move to that part of town? You're going to regret this. These people are not going to listen to you. I got home that day, and Christy was in tears, going, I can't believe this lady said all these things. She was just being so mean-spirited, and she was trying to talk some sense into me. But the truth is she couldn't see the truth, the reality, and we couldn't talk any sense into her. Because she was the one that was missing. She was the one that was blind. She was the one that couldn't see. And so what we had to do was leave that neighborhood going, we love you, we bless you. We hope that one day this makes sense. But we understand that it may never. But we do what we're called to do, and we don't look back. The one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So as you move to Pittsburgh, and as you serve God there, and as you reach people there and love people there and run into challenging folks there, don't look back. Don't sneak back to Roanoke. Don't you do it. Don't you run home to mama. Now, instead, you're going to have times where you run to Jesus. Amen? That's when we all grow. Say, you know what, I'm not going to call my friends and ask them to affirm me. Let me go to my word, to scripture, to Jesus, and say, it's hard. I don't know if I can do it. And let him reaffirm you to say, you can't. Reggie, you're a terrible church planner without Jesus. Courtney, you're a terrible pastor's wife without Jesus. But with Jesus, you can do anything he calls you to do. Same for you, believer. What God calls you to do, he will empower you to do, give you the resources to do it. Let's be a kingdom people that opens our eyes in this season so that we could see what is happening right around us, and let us choose to operate and to live in such a way that it does not make sense and it's totally unconventional in the eyes of this world. Let's pray, and Reggie and Courtney and the kids are going to make their way up here right here, and we're going to pray over them as a church and ask God to watch over them and to bless them and empower them. Lord, as we close down this service today, Lord, we pray for those who may be watching who may still be in the kingdom of darkness and they are not yet operating in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of your dear Son. Lord, we pray for salvation right now, that you would do a miracle, that you would transfer people, that you would give them the gift of faith, that their eyes would be opened, that they would be born again, and that they would begin to walk hand in hand with their Creator God, that they would bow their knee to Jesus Christ, that they would realize that He is the King who has come and who has defeated death, who has reversed the curse, who has given His life on a cross so that their sins could be paid for, that they could be forgiven, and that they could re-enter into a relationship with the God who made them. Lord, we pray for that miracle to happen even right now for those watching online and for those right here in person in the courtyard. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that is you online, you reach out to that host that is there. You click that Salvation Moment button. You say, hey, I need to pray with somebody, and one of our trained hosts that are there would love to meet with you, pray with you, talk with you, and help you understand more about what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus. If you're here in the courtyard and you're tired of living life for yourself and you're tired of living a dead-end life in the kingdom of this world and you realize today that God needs to be your king, that you need to surrender your life to Him, let me know that right now by just raising your hand up wherever you're at and saying, that's me, Pastor. Pray for me today that God would save me. I see you right there and right there. Anybody else? I see you right back there. Thank you so much. God, thank you for these who have indicated that they want to be a part of your kingdom. Lord, solidify that in their heart right now as they have taken a step toward you, as you've drawn them. God, I pray that you would do a saving work in their life.